Tonight we're going to do an introduction to the study of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be using and drawing from Brother Ron Crisp's notes, and he did a study on this that I don't think it can be surpassed. I'll also be using some books. I like studying after John Gill. I'll use his Body of Divinity and from week to week on the Holy Spirit. The Work of the Holy Spirit by George Smeaton is another good book. And also a book, I don't even know if you can get it now, but it's The Holy Spirit by Octavius Winslow. But these are some books that I'll be using, but primarily I'm going to be following a lot of Brother Crisp outline study. Tonight, we're going to look at an introduction. And as we begin our studies on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, it is important that we maintain proper attitudes. If we're going to truly profit from the Word of God, and this is true of any study that we engage in, we need to come praying that the Spirit of God will indeed teach us. If you are to know anything about spiritual truth in the Word of God, it has to come by the enlightening power of the Holy Spirit. You are not intellectual enough. You're not spiritual enough to understand the things of God apart from the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Here in the text that I told you to turn to, John 14 and verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Do you realize what an all-encompassing statement that Jesus Christ makes regarding the person and the work of the Holy Spirit? He's the one that's going to teach you all truth. He's the one that's going to bring all things into remembrance. Ultimately, all truth that we'll ever know is going to come from the Holy Spirit opening our mind and our heart to the truth of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 alludes to this, or chapter 2 alludes to this truth as well. And this is something that I'm sure you've read over many times. And what a contrast between the elect of God and the unsaved. The unsaved, they don't have the Spirit. In fact, they don't even have a spirit to speak of, because the Spirit is dead within them. Not the Holy Spirit, but their human spirit is dead. It's lifeless. It's incapable. All they have is the flesh. But notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So our first attitude in coming into this study is to earnestly pray that we'll be teachable, that we'll be open to the truth of the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, and again, this can be said of any study we do, but I think these are great points by way of introduction. When we come to any teaching in the Word of God, we must have an attitude of submission to the Scriptures as our only rule of faith and practice. Not emotion, not man's wisdom, not opinions, but the Word of the living God, especially in the study of the Holy Spirit's work. Because many in our world, especially over the last 100 years, have endeavored to make their experience the final authority rather than what the Word of God says regarding any doctrine, but especially the work of the Holy Spirit. The charismatics are completely, entirely off base when it comes to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you realize how many people base what they believe on how they feel, or how a preacher may make them feel, or how a congregation or music may make them feel? That is not our authority. Our authority is the Word of the living God. And we can be satisfied with nothing less. There are many people who claim to have extra biblical revelations in the name of the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, they're liars. When the book was finished, Revelation chapter 22, you're not to add to or to take away. I recently read an article or a blog that, who's the guy, the old guy, that has, he, Pat Robertson. Is it Pat Robertson? Is that his name? Huh? No. The old preacher. He's been in charge of a broadcast, a 700 Club. Is it Pat Robertson? Is that his name? All right. Well, he has recently come out saying that that somebody who's transgender is perfectly right, or something along those lines. Listen, this is the same guy that has claimed to have words of knowledge come directly from God to him regarding old ladies' livers. For years on air, saying, I have a word of knowledge that your liver's not working, and in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make those liver pills work for you. Just send in a love offering to the TBN? Is that what the name of his, or the 700 Club? Yeah, send it in to the 700 Club. We'll make sure we get some extra prayers for your liver. The same guy. I'm going to tell you something. You can't trust a preacher who says that God has told him something that's not found in the Word of God. Don't trust a preacher like that. They're liars. Definitely don't send your money to them. The Scriptures have to be our authority. Everything we believe must be based on thus saith the Lord. In fact, Isaiah chapter 8, I memorized this many, many years ago. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? God's response to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There's no light in Pat Robertson. There's no light in someone who preaches work salvation. No light in them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you all know this, but it's good for us to be refreshed by these scriptures. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's the only thing that's given inspiration of God. Somebody says, you inspire me, or God inspired me. No, He didn't. God only inspired holy men of old to record His revealed will for us. No one's been inspired since then when it comes to divine truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which simply means teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When we study the work of the Holy Spirit, we're going to go to and see what the Word of God says. And as individuals and as a church body, we're going to receive God's truth as it is. Then we must believe that God intended for us to understand the doctrines of His Word. The existence of contradictory teachings in religious circles should never be interpreted to mean that the Bible is too obscure to be accurately interpreted. And this is what people, oh, that we really can't know. Everybody disagrees on that. Well, we can't really understand. No, I think God's Word's clear. Certainly on every major doctrine. I mean, you may split hairs over ancillary doctrines. But when it comes to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of salvation by grace alone, there is no room for argument. It's what the Word of God says. And I believe God has given His people an attitude and appetite to understand the things of God. I want to know. I want to grow. I want to learn. And the Spirit, our Savior promised that the Spirit of God would guide us into all truth. Look over there in John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. I believe this is going to be ultimately fulfilled in all of God's elect. Now I'm hoping that I get it all right now, that I get it while I live here. But certainly there are things I don't yet fully comprehend. I don't yet fully understand. But I'm going to depend on the Spirit of truth to teach me all truth and to guide me into what is right and true and holy. But don't allow people to say that all the doctrine of election, that's too deep of a doctrine. You can't really, man, it's all over the Bible. It's clear. It's manifest. Salvation by grace alone, apart from any human work, it's all over the Bible. There is no room for obscurity. So when you come to the Word of God, come with this idea, God, I believe the Lord wants me to believe and know the truth. So as we study, keep this in mind. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Approved of God. Now, I will tell you this. You start studying the Bible and you start studying the doctrines of the Word of God, you're going to find that you're not going to be approved by men. They are not going to agree with a lot of what's written in the Scripture. You're going to be in a decided minority if you determine here and now to take what the Word of God says over the opinions of men, over popular opinion and over popular thought and philosophy. So I'm telling you, I don't know what the percentages are, but there are so few people actually preaching the gospel in our world today, much less deep doctrinal truth. Now, I'm just a preacher on Buffalo Creek Road. I don't profess to be the man of most eloquence or the greatest knowledge, but there are things I do know in the Word of God that I am fully persuaded of. And I believe we need to teach and believe and practice the truth. When we come to a study like this, and any study, remember to begin the study of God's Word with humility. The Bible does not contain everything we want to know, but everything we need to know. Some truths revealed, for example, the interrelationships of the sacred Trinity, the Holy Trinity, Father and Son and Spirit, are intended to be believed, yet incapable of being fully understood by mortal man. There are things that are beyond me when it comes to the hypostatic union of Christ. How divinity and humanity are united together in perfect harmony in one person, in order to carry out the plan and the will of God regarding the redemption of God's elect. That is something I can't fully comprehend. But you know what? Because it's in the Bible, I believe it. I believe it. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Even Peter, one of the apostles, one of the primary apostles, he was in the inner three. Here's what he said. He was a writer of 1 and 2 Peter. And notice what he said about the writings of Paul the Apostle. Verse 15, 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. as also in all his epistles, speaking of them in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Here is an apostle, a man inspired by the Holy Spirit to write two epistles. And he is admitting that there are things written in Paul's epistles that are hard to be understood, and that some people take them and use them for destructive purposes. So yes, when we come to the Word of God, let's come not with a know-it-all attitude, but rather, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then as we go through this study, and through any study for that matter, let's desire to grow spiritually. Let's grow together. Let's come to the Word of God with a sense of enthusiasm. And come and say, Lord, I'm ready to learn. I want to grow. You see, knowledge alone it'll produce pride. This is so vital. This is what separates genuine Christianity from intellectual philosophy. When we come to God's Word, we need to know the truth. And yes, be able to tell what it means. But that truth has to be in us. It has to get a hold of us. And the more we know, the more humble we should become. The closer we get to God, the more that He opens up our eyes to His glory. And the truth of His Word ought to humble us, not puff us up. How sad the thought that some can study about the work of the Holy Spirit and yet fail to be Spirit-filled or yield the fruit of their Spirit in their lives. So when you come, when we study, come desire to know, to glean, to grow. But don't do it just so that you can say to some guy, one of your friends, who may not know anything, well, you don't know nothing. Well, I'll tell you what. I get really aggravated at Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptists who act like they're the only ones in the world that's ever seen any truth whatsoever. I'm going to tell you what. When God entrusts you with these truths, you ought to bow in humility. You ought to say, thank you, Lord. And help me to live in such a way that people see the Spirit of God as teaching me and helping me and guiding me and enlightening me. There shouldn't be an ounce of pride. Not an ounce of spiritual pride in any one of God's elect. James 1:22. We'll close tonight. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. May God help us as we engage in this study on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit to desire to grow spiritually, to know more of His truth, to be more like Christ, and to be truly led of the Spirit. And next week we'll get into more of the meat. We'll look at the object of our study, His names and titles, and then the importance of our study. That's it for tonight.